The reading of the Holy Word of God this morning is from Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Our text this morning is the first part of verse 4. Let's read the whole psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. To that point, we read the holy and inspired words of Jehovah God. Let's pray before we take up our text and the sermon. Father in heaven, we come before holy things every time we open thy word. We come with a sense of sobriety and awe and wonder that we mortal men receive the gift of the very product of thy mind to us in this book, an enduring word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Bless it to our hearing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our text is the first part of verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. Verse 1 of Psalm 91 speaks of a secret place. Children, do you have a secret place? A place that you go to when you're scared or when you want to be alone? A place of safety? When I was a boy, like most children, I loved to make forts, and my fort was always my secret place. The psalmist understands that feeling of needing a secret place, a place of safety to which one may flee. But for the psalmist, children, that secret place he's thinking of is the secret place. And his need for that secret place is the true need. The secret place the psalmist is thinking of is under the overshadowing protection of the sovereign, almighty, covenant God. And the need for that is the psalmist's own sense of his own weakness, his own vulnerability, his own utter incapability of protecting himself from anything, physically, and spiritually. And the psalmist's coming to that secret place is out of that sense of need, spiritual sense of need, and by the Word and Spirit's power upon him, consciously depending upon, being aware of, and trusting in that overshadowing protection of God, chiefly under the Word of God as it's proclaimed, but in his own life, his own devotional life, meditating upon that Word, but coming under the shadow of the Almighty, coming into that secret place, is consciously by the Word, knowing, trusting that overshadowing protection of Almighty God. The whole psalm is about that. Psalter number 248, which is based on Psalm 91, and which we will sing after the sermon is over, has as the theme of the song, and therefore of the psalm, overshadowing protection. That's exactly right. That's what this whole psalm is about. Overshadowing protection of God. And that protection is most beautifully and marvelously captured in the psalm, in that image that the psalmist uses in verse 4 of the secret place and of the overshadowing protection of God, of being covered by Jehovah's feathers and being under his wings. Psalm 91 has three parts. Three parts. The first part is the first two verses of the psalm, where the psalmist is himself making a personal confession. You notice the words I and mine in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my God, in him will I trust. The psalmist is saying, I make this God my refuge. And then in verses 3 through 13, we have the second section of the psalm where the psalmist says, and now, as I make him my refuge, I want you to as well. And he speaks to God's people and says, you trust in this God. He's your refuge too. Notice the switch from I and my to you in verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover thee with his feathers. He's teaching us, and that extends through verse 13. And then the last section of the psalm is the last three verses, verses 14 through 16, where God himself comes in and speaks directly. Of course, it's all God's word. It's him speaking. But at the end of the psalm, he speaks directly to us. And as it were, confirms everything the psalmist has taught us in the second section of the psalm. As God says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. That's God speaking. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. So our text is in that second section when the psalmist is teaching us this refuge is yours. Trust in it. And what he teaches us is confirmed in the third section by God's own promise to us, as it were. Yes, this refuge is for you. Call upon me, and I will deliver you. If this is Moses as the human author God is using to write this psalm, and likely it is, then think about Moses' experience of God as his refuge, his overshadowing protection, how he was preserved in that little homemade boat on the river, how he was preserved spiritually growing up in Pharaoh's house. Think about how Moses, the psalmist, sought the refuge of the overshadowing wings of God in his life. How he went to the tabernacle, the door of the tabernacle, so often when the pillar of cloud was there to speak to God face to face. And now the psalmist Moses is saying, this refuge is yours, learn of it, and trust in it. Let's take that up. Using that marvelous image in verse 4, taking as our theme, under his wings, under his wings. We'll notice first the need for that. Second, the protection that those wings afford. And third, the calling to trust. The need, the protection, and the calling. Beloved of God, if God, in this marvelous image in verse 4, is like a mother bird who takes his little ones under his wings, then that means you and I are like the little chicks. And indeed we are, in two ways especially. First, as chicks live in a dangerous, dangerous world, so we. And second, as chicks are weak and helpless and vulnerable in that dangerous world, so we. Little chicks certainly live in a dangerous world where the need for protection is great. The psalmist lists all kinds of dangers in Psalm 91. And you notice that for the majority of them, the psalmist is keeping in mind that image of the mother hen with the chicks. Most of the dangers he speaks of are put in terms of dangers that would be dangerous to little chicks. In verse 3, he speaks of the snare of the fowler. A fowl is a bird, and a fowler is one who catches birds, and a snare is the instrument with which he catches them. A noose put on the ground with a little bit of bait in it. When the bird comes in, the noose is tripped so that it catches that bird around its body or neck. Terrible danger for little birds. In verse 13, the psalmist speaks of a lion and an adder. An adder is a cobra. A lion and a cobra. And then in the second part of that same verse, verse 13, the young lion and the dragon. The Hebrew word for dragon is simply a serpent, snake. It's a parallelism then. The lion and the cobra, the young lion and the snake. Both animals that are on the prowl for small birds. Even the pestilence that's spoken of in verse 3, the noisome pestilence, and again spoken of in verse 6, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Even that has reference to a disease upon small animals. The word used there for pestilence is the same word that's used in the description of the fifth plague upon Egypt in Exodus 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the sheep, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, same word as the word for pestilence. It's a disease upon animals. These are all dangers for birds. There are a few other dangers spoken of in the psalm as well. The terror at night, the arrow that flieth by day, both referring to an invading army. And those dangers are in relation to the image in the second part of our text. The second part of verse 4. Thy truth shall be our shield and buckler. A shield is a big shield. A buckler is a small shield. And God's truth defends us from an invading army of false teaching and false instruction. But our focus this morning is on those main images in relation to the bird. Terrible, terrible, dangerous world for chicks with fowlers around and murrain, pestilence, and young lions and cobras all about. And it would be one thing, of course, beloved, if little chicks had some ability to defend themselves from these things, but they don't. They're utterly vulnerable, helpless. They're not dogs or foxes with sharp teeth to defend themselves. They can't run quickly. They're not lizards or snakes with a poisonous bite. They can't even fly with their wings up in the air to get away. They're completely and utterly defenseless. And all of that is a good picture of us, isn't it? We're We're like little chicks living in a dangerous, dangerous world. The great snake has slithered into our world and has deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve, and brought along with him all the troubles and dangers. So that fallen, we live under the dangerous curse of God that is upon this world too. There's dangers at every turn, physical dangers and spiritual dangers. Due to the fall, there are physical troubles that are all around us. Physical troubles that are written into our very genes in the womb before we even come into this world. How many of the physical troubles that we're going to face in this life are not already foreshadowed in our genetic makeup, in our mother's womb, that we're totally ignorant of, but are already there? Proof of original sin. And then from there in the womb on out, we come into this world with troubles all around and within us. From cancer to car accidents, from tornadoes to ticks, from broken bones to broken hearts, from Down syndrome to depression. The spiritual dangers that are much worse all about us, and those within us too, that too, from the very moment of conception. Danger to us before we're even aware of it. We have a totally depraved nature already at the moment of conception. And while we'll all have, in the sense, the same totally depraved nature, in another sense, they're not all the same. Some are attracted more to this. Some are tempted more by this and that. And that's all written within us. Before we're even aware of it, we have to learn it about ourselves. And here we come out of this womb with that nature within us. And all about us are lions and adders, a pestilence of sin, and fowlers about. And the fowler sets his snare. The snare of sin and the bait within that's tempting. The trap is laid. Oh, how it draws us in. We're drawn by sin that feeds our pride, that feeds our lust, that plays off of our insecurities, that takes advantage of our quick temper, our self-pity, our discontentment, our complaining spirit, our love for revenge, our love for control, our love for the spotlight, or our love for anonymity. How easily we are caught, we are trapped, cannot free ourselves in our own strength. We come into a world where the pestilence of sin attacks us. So that, like a virus, once it gets a foothold in us, it spreads itself from one part of our life to another part of our life to another part of our life. What begins as a cough spiritually becomes convulsions spiritually if not stopped. Young people, don't be fooled. Children, don't be fooled. Sin is going to say to you, all that I want is just a little bit. I just want a little bit of your life. Just a touch. Just give me a spot where you give yourself to me, where I can camp myself in your life. But it's lying. It's like a virus. It always wants to spread itself. It wants more and more and more, and it will take more and more and more. And it wants not only to spread itself in an individual, but from individual to individuals. Like a virus too. Who hasn't seen this? In the life of a family? In a friend group? Who has not seen this in a line of generations? As patterns of sin carry themselves out. It's a spiritual disease. Powerful. Dangerous. The lion and the adder That's about the sneaking snake that comes and whispers, this will be good for you. This sin, it'll give you joy, it'll give you pleasure, it'll be wonderful for you. Come on, just a little bit. Or the lion that roars, follow along, step in line, or you will be mocked, or you will be pushed to the side. And even when we give ourselves to that sin a little bit, the snake and the lion don't go away. The snake whispers now, you think you're a child of God? How easy I got you to fall. You're no child of God. And the lion now roars, there's only hell for you. You're on your way there. The danger of the lion and the adder. And it would be one thing, beloved. It would be one thing if we had some way to defend ourselves by nature. But we don't. Like those little chicks, we are utterly vulnerable, defenseless, in ourselves, helpless. We're not angels in this world. We're not gods in this world. We're born with a weakened physicality that is subject to so many physical problems. We're born with a dead nature spiritually that can do nothing to prevent the snare and the serpent and the lion and the pestilence. We're helpless by ourselves, utterly helpless, vulnerable to the dangers. Death hangs over us and consumes us in a moment, physically, spiritually, and eternally in hell. Have you never been afraid of this? From one point of view, if you've never been afraid of this, then you have absolutely no idea who you are in the world that you inhabit. You're a little chick in a dangerous, dangerous world. What shall we do? Where shall we go? Is there any protection for us? Is there a secret place to which we might run and find safety? There is. There is. There's only one. It's under the overshadowing protection of sovereign Almighty God. That's what's being described. God speaks of Himself in this image as a mother bird with feathers on a wing, and says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. First part of that sentence, He shall cover thee with His feathers, is the objective reality, the sure reality. Think of it this way. The first sentence, look at it from above, from the sky looking down. And there's that mother bird, and you can see the chicks running under her wings, He shall cover thee with His feathers. The second part of that sentence is the subjective. Under His wings shalt thou trust. And think of that, not from above, but now from the perspective of the little chick himself. Put yourself in that little chick's shoes, and with his eyes, under His wings shalt thou trust. In that chick, under the wings, and he looks up, and he sees the feathers covering him all the way around him. If you've never seen this image that the psalmist Moses is using by inspiration in creation, beloved, you really must. Even if it's only on YouTube, you must. Everybody knows this image, but it's a marvelous thing to see. A mother bird, whether it's an eagle or a stork or a hen, will take her chicks under her wings to protect them, to keep them safe. And the chicks will run there when they are frightened and insecure, and they will trust there. In fact, this is one of the great images of God's care for His people in the Scriptures. Especially the psalmists return to it again and again. Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And one more, Psalm 61, verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Under his wings. His wings. God's wings. Even though the image is a mother female hen, it's put this way. He shall cover thee with his feathers. God's wings, the God who's described in the first few verses with four names. This is who this God is. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. He is Jehovah, and He is my God. Verse 1, Most High, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. There are people in high places, high positions of great authority and power. But this is the Most High. The one above all others. The King of the kings. The Lord of the lords. There is no position higher than the one that God Himself holds. Second, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Almighty, the Shaddai, the entirely mighty one. There are mighty men in this world and women. But there are none mightier than Him. And any might that any has is on loan from Him and is always tied to His might and His power. What does He do with this most high position that gives Him the right, and with this entirely mighty power that gives Him the ability? He serves His covenant purposes. The third name is, I will say of the Lord, all capitals, He is my refuge. Jehovah, the changeless one, the faithful one. Covenant God, with that position and power, exacts all things in the service of His covenant, so that those who are in His covenant can say of Him, this is my God in the covenant. My God, that's the fourth name. My God, in Him will I trust. So that becomes one of His names. Who am I, God says? I'm your God. In the covenant of grace, I'm your God. I give myself to you. With all that might and all that right before you in the covenant of grace. And so that you might know how utterly true that is, I'm willing to condescend and to compare myself for your benefit to a mother hen. Isn't that amazing? That the Most High God would compare Himself to a mother hen for our comfort. Spurgeon says, had it been invented, this comparison or this image, God is a mother hen. Had it been invented by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy. For who should dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as He Himself dictated the language, we have here a great condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. Calvin says, when we consider the majesty of God, there's nothing which would suggest a likeness, such as is here drawn between Himself and the hen or other birds who spread their wings over their young to cherish and protect them. but in accommodation to our infirmity. He does not scruple to descend, as it were, from the heavenly glory which belongs to Him, and to encourage us to approach Him under so humble a similitude. This is the God who speaks, and the cedars of Lebanon break. And yet when it comes to His covenant and His people in His covenant, He will compare Himself this way. The unbeliever, because he does not fear God, is terrified of God. But the child of God, because he fears God, reverence Him for His most high majesty and His almighty power, yet does not flee in terror from Him, but knows Him this way. What does David say? Thy gentleness hath made me great. His protection of His people is described here as a covering. He shall cover you with His feathers. It's an astounding thing when a mother bird protects its young, covers them with their wings, so covers those young that you wouldn't even know that those little ones are there. They're entirely covered. Can't see a head popping out, a tail popping out. Utterly disappear from sight. We'll describe in a moment what this coverage is like more specifically for God's people. But for now, recognize, beloved, that God's protection is utter and total, for He is the sovereign God. If the Arminian would have his way, this could not be said. There would always be exposure, for He is not absolutely sovereign. He cannot take everything and make it work for our advantage. But the image is of complete and utter coverage and protection. Absolutely, there are times when we sing with the psalmist, all unprotected, lo, I stand, no friendly guardian at my hand. But that's because that's how we feel. And how we feel is real. But it doesn't always describe what is objectively true. And this is what is objectively true. Utterly covered, protected. People take out insurance for protection. We use this language, don't we? Coverage. How much coverage do we have? Am I covered in the event of this or that? And if I'm not covered, then I'm exposed to this or that. But there's no insurance policy that can cover you like this. You can purchase every insurance that there is, medical, fire, health, ice storm, every other kind. But there is no feathers like this. You are still exposed. You're exposed to death itself. You're exposed to hell as death brings you there. You're exposed to wrath, to sin, to Satan, to circumstances that are beyond your ability to predict, to the consequences of those circumstances. Even in those things that insurance covers, all it's covering you for is money. What about all the effects of it? What about the wrath of God that comes in it? What about the end of it all? Only in Him. Only in Him. Under His wings is there utter protection and coverage. Never does it run out. You don't get premiums in the mail that you have to pay to keep this coverage going. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and He shall cover thee, for it's utterly dependent upon Him, nothing in ourselves. He takes us under His wings, so that it is sure and steadfast and always will be. You get up tomorrow and you read this, and it's still going to say the same thing, and before you, 10 years from now, it will be the same thing. He shall cover thee. Who's it for? For all those who are His chicks. For His chicks He shall do it. A hen does not gather other chicks under her wings. So too God does this for His people, His own, those who are in Jesus Christ. To be outside of Jesus Christ is to be exposed. To be in Jesus Christ is to know this covering. Those who come to the consciousness of their own vulnerability, their own inability, to defend themselves, to protect themselves in this dangerous world. Humbled by that, flee to Christ and Him alone. In Christ we have the feathers of God over us, beloved. Leaving aside the interpretation of this New Testament passage, for now you remember what the Lord Jesus says in Luke 13, verse 34. O Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. What the Lord is doing is He's taking this image from the Psalms and saying, I am the feathers of God over you. In me you will know them. In me you will find His wings covering you. And outside of me there is only this danger for you. By faith embrace me and know these feathers are yours. Personally. He shall cover thee, you personally, with His feathers. Under His wings shalt thou trust. Your secret place, children of God. Wings over you. His feathers. More specifically now, what does that covering do? How is it an overshadowing protection for us? Three things. Number one, there's a story from a book from the 1940s about a firefighter who was putting out a forest fire. After that fire was put out, he came upon a bird on the ground. And that bird was charred black. He went up to it and he kicked it a little bit with his boot because it wasn't moving. It didn't move, but out from under it scurried three little chicks. The mother was dead, charred by the fire, but those three little chicks had survived under her wings. Here is the first sense in which we are protected, covered under His wings, beloved. For the guilt of our rebellious sins, when we heed the whisperings of that slithering snake, even though we know better, their love and hankering after that virus, even though we know better, the wrath of God that should fall upon us, the fiery wrath falls upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is charred as we are safe under His wings. Second, when there's a cobra about, or a young lion, the mother bird will take her chicks and put them behind her wings, and she'll spread her wings out big, make sure her chicks are behind her, and she will go after that cobra or young lion and make a noise that you think can't possibly come out of that bird and defend her little chicks and keep them from being utterly consumed by that cobra or by that lion. And if that lion had those chicks in his jaws for a moment, out of the hissing of that bird, he lets go and that chick runs and is safe behind the wings of mother. He keeps us. He preserves His people so that they are not consumed. They are not devoured by that lion, by that adder. And even if caught in the snare of the fowler for a time, by the power of sin, delivered by His sovereign, preserving grace. Psalm 124, verse 7, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. The preservation of His saints, kept from all of these enemies that would consume us. The fowler cannot take us home and make us his supper. The lion cannot eat us and destroy us utterly. We're preserved. Third, especially those birds that make their homes way up high in trees, storks, eagles, their nests so high up mean that their chicks are exposed to the elements, the wind and the rain. The stork, for example, when it senses that the storm is coming, will immediately put its chicks under its wings and they'll disappear under that stork's protection. And the rain will fall and the wind will blow. And the chicks are protected. What about the circumstances of our life, beloved? The storms and the difficulties. All those effects of the fall upon us. The things that make us think. Oh, but He lifted up His wing and I was exposed there. And He didn't protect me. What about all those things? They're still there. Under those wings. He will avert all evil, or He will turn it to our profit. And He knows exactly what He's doing. And even when it gets to the avert all evil or turn it to our profit part, we're still under His wings. It's not the case. And He missed that one. Oops. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be astounded at the first part of that. Because we don't think about it as much and we can't see it as much. Avert all evil. We're going to see how much He averted from us because we weren't ready. It wasn't time. And then we're going to see precisely how it all that He allowed to come in was still us being under His wings, for He turned it to our profit. For our ultimate good, and to prepare us for our ultimate place that He has for us in glory in His kingdom that's reserved just for us, and just for us even, as we are molded and shaped by all the things that happen to us in our life. Can Allstate hold back that car accident until the perfect time when it must be there in your life and it would be disadvantageous to you if it was not there in your life and in fact works for your eternal well-being? Can any insurance hold back that disease and then bring it upon you in perfect timing for your eternal welfare and the eternal welfare of others who are around you? This is what it means to be under these wings. Where are you? Right now, where are you? Look up, look up. What do you see? See it. It's feathers. You are under His wings and nowhere else.
Look up, little chicks. Trust Him. Believe Him when He tells you this is where you are. Rely upon Him. Have peace in your soul when He tells you this is where you are. That's the calling of the text. Trust. And God's people shall, under His wings, shalt thou trust. You shall trust. Does not mean there won't be times of doubt. There will. Times when we forget. Do not see those wings over us. When our hearts are set upon the circumstances of our life and the fear and the terror. And that's when there's fear, huh? That's when verse 5. There's fear and terror until we see those wings again. Then thou shalt not be afraid of the terror. But God's people shall, they shall right now under this Word, as His Word is a power to work it by the Holy Spirit in our lives and hearts, so that God's people see those feathers there. And don't you say, they're only feathers. They're the feathers of the Almighty, of the Most High, who does all things for the glory of His own name and His covenant and the lifting of His people into His covenant purposes. This is what it means to come to the secret place, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're there objectively, always. We're always there. Never are we anywhere else. But by His Word and Spirit, we're consciously there. I know myself there. Trust that I'm there. And that all is being perfectly fitted for my salvation and the salvation of His church. So when you fall into sin, beloved, and the slithering snake speaks and the lion roars and the guilt is overwhelming, and you come to your God in repentance and faith, and you look up and you see those once charred feathers over you. Say, I know it, devil. I know I deserve hell. Tell me something I don't know. But the wings of my Christ are over me. He takes hellish wrath for me. When sin seems to have you in its noose, you can't get out. Run under the shadow of those wings. Consciously know this is where I am. This alone will protect and preserve me. And I go to the Word. And I go to those God has put over me to help me, who will themselves help me with the Word. And the circumstances of life seem too much. I look up. I see His wings over me. By the power of His Word, I know that's where I am. And I rest in Him who has all things under His control. I know, and I need to know again. And again, in rain and drought, in fruitful and barren years, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, in all things. By that Word may we trust, so that it may be said of us what Boaz said of Ruth. Drawn by the sovereign, irresistible grace of God to the overshadowing protection of the Almighty. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Amen. Father, bless thy word to our hearing. Grant to us faith. We're thankful, O God, for the only comfort in life and in death. Hear us, we pray, and receive our thanks and worship.